Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN.
Hey, welcome to Happy Hour. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us this afternoon. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPNRochester.com, our home online, and the radio.com app. Really the best way to listen to ESPN Rochester. You can download it for free and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Mike Danger here, Gene Battaglia there.
We have the game coming up Friday night with our pregame at 5 on the television side. We're happy to be joined in by, you'll see him on the sidelines Friday night, preseason game number 2, Bills and Panthers, sports director, news aide, Thad Brown joining us here. Thad, how are you? How's things going down in Carolina today?
Not bad. Trying to keep from sweating through another shirt for the third consecutive day, but other than that, doing all right.
Is it really that hot? Are we just not used to it? Are the people down there used to it? We talked to the Panthers beat reporter for ESPN yesterday, David Newton. He was just mentioning, yeah, we're kind of used to it down here. This doesn't really mean anything to us.
I get the impression they're used to it, but that doesn't mean it's any more comfortable. You know, it's still hot, bad, thick, humid. I mean, all the uncomfortable things you can think of for this time of year, times 10. You know, it's been unusual. Yesterday was worse than today. Today's not quite as bad, but neither day has been anything I would put in the realm of comfortable.
Thad, your impressions of just the setup down there, because we've heard reports that it's big, and you know, what are the chances we get a reciprocal some point at St. John Fisher on something like this?
Setup's not bad. You know, it's bigger than Fisher, not that big. I mean, it's kind of similar in that they've got a couple of practice fields in an area next to the main football stadium, and you know, guys kind of walk past the stadium out to practice. I mean, there's some similarities. They have 2 full football fields and then a side field, whereas Fisher just has the 1 field and 1 side field. And there's a few more tents, and you know, there's a nice hillside where fans can watch, but in terms of actual capacity, if you really wanted to count, Fisher probably is about the same. So it's nicer, but not that much nicer. And the other thing is that everybody believes that the last training camp practice at Spartanburg has happened, because the Panthers just built a spanking new facility as their home base in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Everybody thinks that's where camp is going to be next year. In terms of the reciprocal, we actually talked to Brandon Bean about that yesterday, and he kind of talked around it, wouldn't really address it, but didn't close the door on it either. The one thing he said was these practices this year didn't come together till the combine. So, you know, they're not talking about next year's camp this year. They're going to play a football season, and then sometime after said football season is over, they will talk about next year. And, you know, maybe next year it might happen, but, you know, they don't really know right now.
News 8 sports director, Bill sideline reporter Thad Brown, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Thad, be our ears and eyes for the Bills fans that aren't able to get down there. We hear there are plenty of Bills fans down there taking in these joint practices, but we heard reports today that both offenses for the Bills and the Panthers looked sharp. Can you paint a picture for us?
Yeah, first of all, with the Panthers, there was one sequence where Cam Newton just carved the first team Bills defense. I mean, it was 8 yards this way, 15 yards that way, 7, 9. I mean, he did whatever he wanted to. Josh Allen wasn't spectacular, but he was pretty efficient, which for him is almost better than spectacular. Finished 11 of 13 in the last 2 drills. Not as good earlier, but, you know, some of the smaller things he did pretty well. And overall, you know, this was a very solid 2 days for him. There were a couple of misfires, you know, a couple of things that looked pretty ugly. But for the most part, he did better here than he did the last week at camp at Fisher, for sure. And I think your assessment today is right. You know, both first-team offenses were probably the winners in team drills today.
And Secchi not participating today, and I know the Bills don't exactly update things after practice, but what do we know, if anything, about Ty and Secchi today, Thad?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We did ask a couple times. I know he was fully dressed, so it seemed like there was the intention to have him practice. He participated in one-on-one drills, and not against the Panthers, but individual stuff with the team. And then once they went into the team, Cody Ford played right tackle, Spencer Long played right guard, and Ty Secchi sat with his arms folded for the duration of practice, pretty much. Did not appear injured, did not appear to be in any distress. The reason why he played is anybody's guess right now. Hmm. And I mean, that's pretty much literally the assessment. You could throw something out and I'd be like, sure, maybe, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all the speculation today, on, you know, if you're on Twitter and online is, hey, the Bills are maybe in play for a Jadeveon Clowney trade. Maybe Insecki's part of that. I mean, do you think there's anything to that, that rumor du jour to Thad?
No, I don't think so. Tim Graham posted a little while ago that he said that the Bills official told him there was nothing. I just, you know, with the Jadeveon Clowney, I don't see how that makes the Bills much better. I mean, they have a really good defensive end in Jerry Hughes. They've got a potentially good to pretty good one in Trent Murphy. You know, and now you're going to give up, what, a second-round pick and eight figures of a contract to get yourself three extra sacks in a league where inside pressure is becoming, you know, more important than outside pressure by the day. So I don't, I mean, maybe they do it, but I don't see where the benefit is. You know, they're good on defense. They need help on offense, and they're going to make the defense better. I mean, better is better, but I just don't think it'd be worth it.
They don't give you the update, too, as far as when a player would be cleared from concussion protocol. What are the odds, though, that in your mind that we'll see Mitch Morse? Your level of concern about Mitch Morse, what we have and have not seen out of the center of this camp?
The level of concern is exceptionally high. I mean, very high. He didn't participate at all in the spring. He did one padded practice in camp. You know, this is the guy that's going to make the calls for you on the offensive line. This is the guy that's supposed to be the glue while the four spots around you are churning through competition, although that's been settled down a little bit. You know, this is supposed to be your veteran leader. And he has been out there once. And he's not going to play on Friday. And there's only one more preseason game left where starters will play before the regular season starts. So unless he, you know, gets out of protocol and is cleared, you know, Sunday or Monday, you know, they're not going to see him at all before they plug him in for game one. That's a tough way to go into your season with your center. And that doesn't even get to the point of, you know, how did he end up with a fourth concussion? How much concern is there that this is a, you know, something that's going to happen again? You know, because obviously concussions are, you know, taken ultra seriously and should be in the league right now. You know, is this a thing that could potentially, you know, lead to a career being threatened? So, you know, there is a million reasons to be concerned about this, and nothing about it looks good right now. Again, it's a concussion. You know, he could be clear on Sunday, play in the preseason game next Friday, and everything's hunky-dory. But who knows?
Thad, could the concussion to Mitch Morse actually be a blessing in disguise for the Bills coaching staff? Now they have the ability to mix and match that offensive line, move people around, see how flexible and versatile they are at different positions, and really get a true evaluation of how each of these individual pieces fit or may fit on the final 53 when you actually know what Mitch Morse is and what he's going to bring to the table when healthy.
This is a very rosy spin on this injury right now. I mean, it looks good. It's a good thing. It's a blessing in disguise in that, well, hey, if Mitch Morse is not going to play a lot of games, we know what to do. But who wants to be in that situation? You know, I mean, this is not what the plan was. Yeah, it's great that Feliciano's played center. That looks like the option. So now they know that. Cool. But this offensive line is decidedly worse without Mitch Morse. And you know, you don't, I mean, I don't think you know what you have in Mitch Morse. You know what you think you have, you know what you expect to have, but until he fits in with the rest of that offensive line, you know, and it might not be so much in, you don't know what you have in Mitch Morse. You don't know what you have in Quentin Spain next to Mitch Morse. How is Spain going to play? There's so many questions that need to be answered. And I'm not going to look at it positive that this is a bad thing. This is a concern. I said it when he went on concussion protocol, you know, back two Sundays ago. This is the second worst thing that could happen to the Bills in camp behind Josh Allen getting hurt. This is not good in a thousand ways.
Thad Brown, News 8, joining us live from South Carolina. Thad will be on the sidelines Friday night as you can watch the Bills and Panthers. Thad, here's another rosy topic, Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary this year, your thoughts on him becoming perhaps the lead running back when it's all said and done? Am I going out of my mind or am I just overreacting here perhaps to what I saw in preseason game number one? Your thoughts on what the ceiling could be this year for Devin Singletary?
He looks good. You know, I don't think you're out of your mind. I think it's probably not in the realm of likely, but not impossible. You know, he has looked electric in times, both at Fisher, certainly in that preseason game. He is going to be a part of the offense one way or another, whether it's as the lead back or a change of pace back or a third down back. The Bills like him in his blitz pickup, which is a big thing for a rookie running back, especially a smaller one. So, you know, if we're talking here at Thanksgiving, and Singletary is the unquestioned number one back, I wouldn't be shocked, but I wouldn't bet on him either.
Thad, I want to get your opinion on the wide receiver competition. We kind of know how the front end looks. We were a little bit worried about Foster at the end of yesterday's session, but we saw him get a healthy dose of reps with the first team offense today. At least that's what we heard. You can confirm that. And we also heard good things, glowing things from Brian Daboll, specifically about Nick Easley and his fight to try and be the backup slot receiver. Just paint a picture on the wide receiver position, the battles that are happening there, and who's standing out to your eyes.
Foster had reps today, but really didn't do much with them, and he has been a disappointment. I really thought he had, you know, number one wide receiver potential, maybe not high-level number one, but maybe Stevie Johnson-level number one, and for an undrafted free agent, you sign up for that every day of the week. With Easley, he had a really good – he might have had the best 2 days in Spartanburg for an offensive skill guy. He was making plays all over the place, looking good in one-on-ones, you know, making plays in team drills. I mean, just had a really good couple of days. And although, you know, we talk about Isaiah McKenzie and Ray Ray McLeod as having the inside track, the last receiver spot or two, it would not surprise me at all if Easley, you know, crept his name up into that conversation. McLeod was good in this camp, and McKenzie's been pretty good the last week or so. So, I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the battle for the Bills' fifth or sixth receiver has gotten very interesting. And this is something we talk about in August and forget about in September, but we're in August right now, so we can talk about it. It has not been bad.
Yeah, as far as all the positions, when you're looking at the camp battles, and let's skip ahead to Labor Day weekend, Thad, what's the toughest decision that's going to be facing Brandon Bean? What area on this team will you find that, hey, you have too many talented players here? Maybe the answer is none, but what is the toughest position when it comes down to cup day?
That's a good question. You know, wide receivers becoming one of those. Defensive end will be one, you know, because you're probably going to lose either Mike Love or Eddie Yarbrough. And Yarbrough has been competent at the least, productive at times, but Love's had a great camp. You know, remade his body and improved himself a lot. So that's one I would put in there. You're going to laugh, but punter is one. I think both these punters are pretty good. And I think both these guys are on a roster by the end of September. So, you know, that's not a hey, well, who won the punter job? It's not something, you know, people talk about over the water cooler. But those are probably the spots that would stand out to me. Running back isn't a bad one either, you know, because T.J. Yeldon might be gone, and that's a guy that can clearly play in the league. And you know, I think it speaks to the overall talent of this roster. You know, this has been a long time since we talked about the Bills having to cut, you know, good players, and in a few spots they probably will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director, Bills sideline reporter, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Real quick, Thad, tight end. Tommy Sweeney last time this week was the guy that we were talking about. I think a disappointing week one preseason game for Sweeney, and we've heard of some drops during the joint practices there in the Carolinas as well. Play out that that positional battle right now. Is Kroon back in the mix? Anything new on Dawson Knox? What can you tell us about tight end?
I mean, if we're running it as a race, whatever lead Tommy Sweeney had after that blue-red scrimmage a couple weekends ago in New Era is all gone now. I mean, if Nick Easley had the best camp of an offensive skill guy, Sweeney easily had the worst. Multiple drops. I mean, balls you need to catch. Now, he had one today where Josh Allen, frankly, hung him out to dry over the middle and Ross Cockrell popped him. Probably more contact than you should be getting in this setting. But Sweeney still did not hold on to the ball. And in a game setting, the contact's going to be more significant and legal, and it's a catch he's got to make. And, you know, this is a guy that the one thing he had going for him was his hands coming in, and the hands have been bad. I mean, you know, he'd be better off catching the ball with oven mitts here in Spartanburg. So, you know, the tight end position is as wide open as you can imagine. They need Tyler Croft and Dawson Knox to get healthy as soon as possible, because I can't imagine there's much confidence running any of these guys on the field right now for week one against the Jets.
Thad, your hands. Your hands, Thad. I look, great job with the moderation of the Jim Kelly benefit last week.
I know, but
everybody's got to know.
Excuse.
Kelly throwing to Thad. And Thad, I think you ran the route
wrong. You know what? Kelly admitted, you know, he led him a little too far on that one.
No, that's not on it. We're going to blame the Hall of Famer over the reporter. not a chance. No, the worst part was is that I didn't realize I was going to catch a pass. And he had thrown like 11 or 12 or 14, whatever it was, and had not had a single one hit the ground. So, of course, I mentioned that on the microphone at this event. And what people listening might not understand is we were at a conversation with Jim Kelly about his life to benefit Hunter's Hope over at Midtown last weekend, or last week. And, you know, one of the things Jim Kelly likes to do at these events is throw footballs out to people who he wants to single out for helping and volunteering. And apparently, you know, my part as being the MC of the event is something he wanted to single out. Totally appreciate it. So, you know, you can't just, like, walk five steps and turn around and have him throw you the ball. You got to run a pattern. Jim makes you run a pattern.
Yeah.
So I run straight down the field, finger quotes, and the ball was right there. I didn't get my hands together and didn't high point it. You know, I had the suit jacket on. I'm going to use that as an excuse all day and just didn't make the play. And let me tell you, worst attempted catch of my life right there.
Thad, if it makes you feel any better, Tom Brady stumbled on that stage as well. He couldn't catch a pass in the Super Bowl. It's fine. You know, the great ones,
he had real... He had real football players watching and chasing him. I just had you guys watching, you know, so way different situation.
Thad, this has been great. We hope to get the chance to do it again real soon. Appreciate all the work you're doing covering the team down there in the Carolinas. Look forward to seeing you on Friday night and talking to you again real soon. Enjoy the rest of your time.
Sure, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director. You can see him on the sideline for the Bills on TV. That will be Friday night.
Yeah. Level concern high with Mitch Morse.
I tried to spin a positive.
Yeah. I think you're hoping that we come back Monday, he's cleared, you're fine, third preseason game, Lions, you play the first half, and away we go. And then this is all forgotten about.
If I'm concerned about anything, it's him playing that third preseason game. If he got a concussion from his first padded practice, how is he going to react to playing a full half of football in week three of the preseason with nothing prior to that? That has me concerned. But maybe they know. Maybe they think they know what they have in Mitch Morse. You're able to evaluate the rest of these guys and see how versatile they actually can be with Morse being gone. That was good stuff. We'll get that on demand for you shortly here at ESPNRochester.com or the radio.com app. You can listen on demand. Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director, joining us here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia with a report from Spartanburg, Wofford College, the Bills and Panthers joint practice. Nice to have Thad as our ears and eyes there on site. Let's get to shots next, Gino.
Yeah, shots in the Sports Bar. We have an NBA team that was sold. We'll tell you the price tag on that and why it's good to be an NBA owner these days. Adam Silver, you want his phone number? Well, we're not going to give it to you, but maybe from shots you'll be able to figure out where you can go find it. Tiger Woods giving an update today. And if you missed Hard Knocks last night, Mike Danger, it warmed my heart. The best cameo of all time in Hard Knocks last night. Those stories coming up in shots.
Can I guess?
We can share a cold one and maybe a win or two.
You're in the Sports Bar. Shots is brought to you by Market View Liquor out of Wine and Liquor. Now, if you live within 5 miles of Market View Liquor, they'll deliver it in less than an hour. Just download the Drizzly app, Drizly. Market View Liquor, Jefferson Road, Henrietta. Shots next on ESPN Rochester.
Wilkins RV and the Rochester Red Wings are sending you out on the road. You and six friends could be boarding a Wilkins RV outbound to Buffalo to cheer on the Red Wings as they visit the Bison. You'll also get the pregame VIP treatment and meet a couple of Red Wings players fresh off of batting practice. Learn more and register now by going to the Fan Zone section at redwingsbaseball.com. The Wilkins RV Road Trip with the Wings, presented by AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.